Welcome to the Space Show, Jonathan.
Thank you, Andrew.
Machos, what are they?
Yes, big news, machos. It sounds a bit funny, doesn't it?
What, big he-men?
Astronomers like making up these acronyms for things. In fact, one of these days I'm going to get around to writing a book and it'll just be full of all the acronyms that they've made up. Funny things like Octopus and Susie, but we won't go into that now. Machos, they're massive astrophysical compact halo objects. And they're the opposite of WIMPs. WIMPs, real things. Weakly interacting mutual particles, they are, and they really are at the complete opposite end of the scale as far as size and mass is concerned. Now, to give you some background, why are they looking for these things and why do they think they're there? Astronomers look out into the universe and they see luminous matter, stars and galaxies, things that are shining and giving off energy. Now, according to their theories of star formation and galaxy formation, they can work out the mass of all the things that they're seeing, of all the shining things in the universe. Now, it turns out that that all that mass they see out there is just not enough. There isn't enough mass in luminous matter to make the universe tick. Now, they can tell this by looking at the way galaxies rotate, and just using simple laws of physics, they can work out that, hey, this galaxy should not be rotating like that. It should fling itself apart or contract or whatever if there was, you know, if there was only that amount of mass there. Similarly, big clusters of galaxies, now these things move incredibly slowly and you can't actually see them moving, but based on their positions you can tell that they are sort of orbiting around each other, and to do that there must be enough mass in the middle or in the hole to make them orbit around, and there just isn't enough in this luminous matter that they see. So they've invented this stuff called dark matter, which they think is out there making up the rest of the universe. Possibly 90% of the matter in the universe is unseen dark matter. And it's been conjectured for quite a long time as just exactly what this matter could be and what form it could take. And machos and WIMPs are two possible forms. WIMPs are proposed theoretical subatomic particles. And if there were enough of them, and if they were, as the name suggests, weakly interacting, that is, they didn't interact with normal matter so that you could, you know, never detect them or have great difficulty detecting them, there could be stacks of them there and you'd never know. And they could make up a lot of the mass of the universe. But there have been theoretical problems, there still are, with WIMPs, and of course you have the problem of trying to find them, which makes it tricky to prove that they're there. Now, machos, similarly, these massive compact objects, things like black holes, burned-out stars, planets that are just wandering free throughout the universe, big, chunky, massive things. They are also difficult to find if they are dark matter, if they're not making their own light or reflecting light. Now, getting back to what I said earlier about galaxies, just individual galaxies spinning around on their axis and seeming to spin around with a certain amount of mass, but more mass than we see when we look out at them. It's been proposed that in the halo of galaxies around the outside is a swarm of these macho things, big burned-out stars or black holes or things, to make up the rest of the matter. So a team from Canberra and America have been looking for a while now to try and find these machos. And they use a very, very tricky technique. What they do is they have built a big telescope. In fact, they've rebuilt the old Great Melbourne Telescope, which has been around for quite a long time. It's a 50-inch diameter machine. And they've been training this telescope on one of the nearby galaxies to us, the Large Magellanic Cloud. It's the closest galaxy to us, in fact, and with this telescope you can make out individual stars. Now, the theory is that if one of these great big dark massive things, like a burned-out star, goes in between us and one of the background stars in this other galaxy, then, not as you would expect, it doesn't block out the light from that star, it actually increases the light from that star. When you look at a star in a distant galaxy, you see the light that's coming directly toward you, but the star is shining light in all directions. So there's some light that's not making it to you, it's zipping past to the left or the right or above you or below you. But when a big massive thing gets in the way, it acts like a lens and it bends some of the light that you would not normally see, and it bends it into your line of sight. So what you actually see is the star increase in brightness. So that's what they've been doing. They've been using this big telescope and a big array of electronic detectors to look at millions and millions and millions of stars in this background galaxy, hoping to see one of these stars increase in brightness for a while and then fade away again. Now, they've done it. They've found one. And they're pretty confident that it is one of these macho events where a big object's gone in front of the star. For a number of reasons. The curve of the light, when you plot the light, when it goes up and down, is exactly what they would theoretically expect to see if one of these machos got in the way. Also, it is exactly the same increase in brightness and decline again in both red light and blue light, which is important because some types of stars do vary their brightness, but they vary it in either one type of light or the other. But this did it in both. And they've also been able to rule out other types of stars that flare up just intermittently because the event actually took about 40 days to go from start to finish. So they're very confident that they found one. Now, one doesn't sound like much, but according to the theory and the statistics, which are absolutely sound, if you look at X number of million stars for long enough, then you would only expect to see a few of these things per year. And that's what they've done. They've managed to achieve that.
Now, has the search been solely an Australian affair, or have others been involved as well?
This particular project, the Macho project, has been a collaboration between Australian astronomers at Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra and some American institutions. In fact, the Americans put up most of the money, and the telescope has been sighted at Mount Stromlo Observatory. And the observers here have been sort of manning it, and the data gets sent back to America for analysis. This work, I should add, could only be done from here because you need a close galaxy nearby where you can make out individual stars. And the only two that fit that bill are the Magellanic Clouds, which are really only observable from southern latitudes, the southern half of the planet. So it needed to be down here. Now, this news was announced only a week or two back, and it was also announced simultaneously that a French team had done more or less the same thing. They weren't using electronic detectors, they were using photographic techniques, and they were based over in Chile. But they also have found one of these stars that increased its brightness when an object moved into the line of sight. And it's good to see the spirit of cooperation. Both the French team and the American and Australian collaborators decided to hold simultaneous press conferences around the world to announce a simultaneous discovery of this event.
Would the one that the French saw be the same object, or is it a different macho?
I don't have too many details on the French one yet. Neither do I have too many details on the Australian one. They're a little bit coy with their data. But I believe that it wasn't the same. It certainly wasn't the same object. And I think they were also looking at the small Magellanic Cloud, not the large, but I'm not sure of that. It certainly wouldn't have been the same identical object. No.
So that means that the number of these objects would be quite large.
Oh, they expect there to be billions and billions of the things out there in this big swarm around our galaxy. But the chances of seeing one when it moves in front of one little background star are pretty slight. That's why you need to look at lots of stars, millions of them, for a long time to be able to find one. Now, getting back to what I said earlier about statistically they can work out if they look at X number of stars for a certain duration, then they should be able to see X number of events. When you find one, you can then work backwards and say, well, that means that there's probably so many millions or billions of the things out there. And the other thing too, of course, is that by seeing how much the star increases its brightness as the light is bent or lensed into your line of sight, you can get an idea of the exact mass of the object. So that mass that you've worked out, plus your statistical extrapolation to work out how many there are out there, can give you an idea of how much mass total is surrounding the galaxy. And that's very important. That will give them a big lead into lots of questions about galaxy formation and formation of clusters of galaxies, and in fact the whole history of our universe and a lot of the future as well.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jonathan.
Thank you, Andrew.